on. We hardly ever go to these small letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 3rd John, just a little bit before Revelation, John gives a wish. Odd that he doesn't say, I pray, or I desire, like that Aaron talked about here. He says, I wish. That's interesting. But it still shows what his focus is and what his preference is and what he's looking for. All right, let's read together. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. In the same measure, in a commensurate manner, be in health, the same way your soul is. Boy, that would make for a lot of shriveled up folks because they haven't focused on their souls. Instead, they focused on their natural being. But for a lot of you, you would be quite a specimen of health and strength and power in the natural if that transition was made from spiritual to natural. Because you've made the transition from natural to spiritual. Praise God. And the power of God has been displayed. Amen. All right, you may be seated. God bless you today so very much. Soul prosper, we'll call this. Soul prosper. The prosperity that we see in the lives of some individuals in the scripture. Abraham, for example. Abraham leaving what was foundational to him, his family, his finances, his foundation, basically, where he grew up. The Lord said, leave. And he may have asked, where am I going? And the Lord said, I'll show you. And he didn't know in advance. But as he went and demonstrated that faith, the Lord multiplied and blessed and prospered him in a great way. Another character, individual in the scripture that perhaps we may think of when we think of prosperity is Solomon. When the scripture says Solomon made silver as plentiful as stones, that's prosperity. That's amazing. And the gold that him had been accumulated. Now remember, David, his father, is the one who gathered a lot of the materials that he would use to build the temple. A lot of it had been stockpiled by David, and that's good for one generation to help the next generation in their service to the Lord. That's the way it's always got to be multiplied. Amen. All the praise that's in Psalm 100 and all the exuberance and the excitement and the way we say it now, I've been loosed, I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. David was probably feeling that. And he writes all of those verses about how to worship God, how to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, serve the Lord with gladness, and all of that. He ends it by saying, his truth endureth all generations. That's what he was excited about. That's what he was thrilled about. So David was glad to be able to stockpile all of those building materials so that Solomon would be able to do the work of God and construct that temple. And what a temple it was, my goodness. The gold that was put in place, gold shields, gold on the door. And the reason we know about those things is because later there were some kings who forfeited that gold and that glory. Rehoboam replaced the gold's shield, the shields of gold, with shields of brass. And Hezekiah took the gold off of the temple doors and gave it to the king of Assyria. So we know that gold was there because there were others later who compromised it and lost it. The gold vessels, the gold furniture that was or the furniture that was plated with gold in the temple. Marvelous, glorious, powerful. And very similar to, in a spiritual sense, what we have in our walk with God. And oh, we pray for the next generation. Don't forfeit it. Don't compromise it. Don't sell it. Don't give it to the enemy. Hold on to the glory of God. Hold on to the move of the Spirit. Hold on to the move of the Holy Ghost in your life and make it personal. Praise God. And not just an excitement and a thrill and a chill, but a recognition God is there when we're on the mountain. God is there when we're in the valley. Amen. And he brings us through, and he provides for us in a wonderful way. So Solomon, with all of his wealth, used it for the work of the Lord in the building of the temple and then in securing the kingdom for the glory of God. And he wrote, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he wrote these words, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." He's wrapping it all up. He's saying, this is the bottom line. This is what you've got to work towards. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay, the wise man was anointed by the Lord to write those things. Now, in contrast, we have the rich farmer that Jesus told about. Very prosperous and planning for more. Nothing wrong with that aspect. So great was his harvest, so great was his crop, that he required bigger barns. And he recognized that this is what I have to do. In order to take care of the harvest, I've got to adjust in my building. Praise God. And we're believing the Lord for a great harvest. And we're going to build a bigger auditorium for that harvest and bigger Sunday school rooms. Praise God. God bless our Sunday school teachers. And they're recognizing there's a harvest there. Amen. And they work hard every week to prepare for their lesson and their room and ready for those young hearts that come in to hear the word of God. We're looking for a harvest. This man recognized how great the harvest was, and he reasoned that the requirements to be prosperous and affluent were worthwhile. He reasoned bigger barns, bigger silos, bigger places to take care of the harvest. He met all of those requirements, and then he was able to say, "Soul, take thine ease." And that's where he stepped off the path that was pleasing to the Lord. Nothing wrong with a bigger harvest. Nothing wrong with being prosperous. But when he said, "Soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. For thou hast much goods laid up for many days." All the requirements that he met, he was not aware that his soul would be required that night. That's what we've got to be ready for. Amen. That's not a wet blanket on all the blessings of God and all the prosperity that he desires to give you. That's understanding the priority and the prosperity that God wants to give you. And that's what John was talking about. I want you to prosper and to be in health in the same measure that you are prosperous and in health in your soul, in your spiritual walk. Because Jesus said, what profit is there if a man gains the whole world and he loses his soul. That's the gain and loss that we've got to pay attention to above any of the stock market or any of insurance and whatever aspect of gain there that we might be able to talk about financially. Gaining treasure in this life and not laying up treasure in heaven. I remember reading about a missionary who gave his life reaching out to tribes in South America that had never been reached, and they took airplanes in those locations and so on. And he said this, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Oh my, how profound. Amen. You're not a fool to give up what you can't keep anyway, to gain what no one is going to be able to take from you. No circumstance can take it from you. No situation can take it from you. No devil can take it from you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We want to hold on to those eternal values. You see, God's perspective is the correct one. God's perspective about eternity and living this life with a consciousness of eternity. Amen. And what if the value of your soul determined your prosperity? What if John's wish came about in reality and in finality? Many who are in prosperity across our country and in our society, many in prosperity would be suddenly reduced to poverty because they haven't paid attention to the value of their soul. They haven't worked in the situations of laying up treasures in heaven. Many who are wealthy would be worse off. But oh, thank God, you and I know how important it is to put God first, to make him the priority. Amen. And God desires that you do prosper. Look how many scriptures talk about being planted and being prosperous and being flourishing like a tree. Psalm 92 and 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those are not little shrubs. Those are not little bushes. Palm trees reaching way up high. And cedars in Lebanon being harvested and taken back to Jerusalem so they could be used in the temple. Amazing comparison there for the righteous to flourish like a tree. Isaiah 61 and 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And mourning may come because of situations in our lives. And we've said it many, many times, life is not fair. And there will come times of grieving, come times of mourning. But here's what the Lord's going to do, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's a good trade-off. That's a good transition. That's a good blessing that the Lord gives. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord looks at you as one who is going to be solid and sturdy like a tree, and righteousness is going to be displayed, and you are the planting of the Lord so that he gets the glory. He's the one who is lifted up. Psalm 1 and 3, again, another verse of scripture that talks about the righteous being like a tree. Psalm 1 and 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God desires that for you. Amen. And so there's a planting, purposeful, not haphazard, not by accident, not by mistake, but purposeful in the plan of God. Sturdy and solid and established. Amen. I would ask my class, what is the largest living thing on earth. And inevitably, they would answer about the whale, the white right whale, and how that's the largest living thing. And I'd have to correct them. No, that's not the largest living thing on earth. The largest living thing on earth is a tree. That's why God compares you to a tree. Amen. He wants to display his glory through you. He wants to show his power through you. He wants you to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you're never going to wither. You're never going to be without fruit. And whatsoever you do can prosper. That's what God has in mind for you. The devil doesn't even come close. The devil doesn't even have anything that would hold a candle to the bright sun that God wants to give you. All the blessings that you can find, all the power that you can know, all the strength that you can have comes from God. And the devil is a liar in what he tries to give as a substitute to our young people, to our old people, to everybody in between. I'm going to hold on to the blessings of God. I'm going to desire more from him and look to him for all that he wants to bless me with. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Planted by rivers of water. That's God's desire. A long-term supply. Something that's not going to dry up. It's not going to evaporate. It's not going to become extinct. No, rivers of living water is what he promised in the Spirit. Glory to God. And that's what we can receive. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord desires that supply to be in your life continuously. Rivers of living. That's why he planted you there. He wants you to be productive. Your leaves don't have to wither. And it's not enough just to have leaves. You got to have fruit. And thank God you can bring fruit forth in season. In season. Praise God. Seasons of dryness. Yep, that happens. Seasons of, you got to fight off the negative impacts that would come. And gardeners know about aphids and all of those slugs. You don't have slugs here so much like you have in Southeast and Ketchikan. Good grief, they're all over the place. You can deal with those things. Amen. God helps you to deal with it. God helps you to overcome. Praise God, because he wants you to prosper, because it glorifies him. Now, what is done is the key. Doeth whatsoever he doeth. Praise God. Thought and then action. But action has got to follow thought. Praise God. Whatsoever he doeth. Now, we're not talking about the ungodly sinner, because the contrast is there in Psalm 1. Not an ungodly sinner, not a scornful, not one who is just going to mock the things of God, but one who delights in the things of the Lord. And he meditates day and night on the things of God. Praise God. And it's so exciting to be able to read something like Psalm 1 and 3 and then turn to Jeremiah 17 and 8 and realize here's almost the exact same thing. When the psalmist wrote it hundreds of years before, and it was proven in King David's life, it was proven in King Solomon's life, it was proven in all those kings that would be obedient to the things of God, and Josiah and so on, the different ones who trusted in the Lord. And now Jeremiah is writing it again. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, thank God, the promise of the Lord is true. Hundreds of years later, and thousands of years later, to 2017, on August the 13th, God is saying, I want you to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want you not to worry about heat or about drought. I want you to be green and productive. I want you to have fruit. praise God and thank the Lord for the fruit of the Spirit that God brings to us. Trust in the Lord to do good things and bring good results. It's still a good promise. Amen. And we trust the Lord to do that work. Amen. Seed is sown. Seed is sown, the parable of the sower. Sower goes forth to sow, and it falls on good ground, falls on stony ground, falls on ground that has thorns, and it falls and doesn't lay there very long, and the birds come and pick it up. And the Lord was trying to describe how there are people who react to the Word of God in different ways. Thank God we can be good ground. We can determine to be good ground. And oh, look at the results that the Bible says. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's very strong production. That's very good production that God wants to bring in our lives. So the Word of God has potential to do some amazing things. And Isaiah 55 and 11. Isaiah 55, it just amazing things that are in there. Remember, the Lord is saying in that passage, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. Amen. That's the whole context of Isaiah 55. But in verse 11 in particular, he talks about his word. My word goeth forth out of my mouth, he says. But notice what happens. It shall not return unto me void. There's not going to be a zero at the end there. There's not going to be a lack of results. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. Ah, the word of God brings that prosperity. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad that the Lord is able to bring about the results through his word that he desires. And the end of Mark says, he confirms the word with signs following. And everywhere he confirms that word with signs following. There's not a burnt over field. There's not dried up ground. There's not areas that the word of God is not going to work. There's not a heart that's too hard that it can't be softened by the word of God. Try it out. Amen. See what the Lord will do. See how the Lord could bring about a change in people's lives. And see how he will confirm his word with signs following. Praise God. And how Isaiah talks about there will be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Praise God, because his word will prosper. Now, Joshua has a huge task on his shoulders. He's been in training for 40 years, and now Moses has passed on, and the mantle of leadership has fallen upon Joshua. And the Lord speaks to him in chapter 1 and verse 7, the book of Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous. That's interesting that God uses that phrase four times in the first chapter. He knew what Joshua was thinking. He knew what Joshua was feeling. I'm inadequate. I can't do this. I can't fill Moses' shoes. That's just too much, too big. No, the Lord knew that Joshua was going to step in. And so he tells him four times, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Listen to your elders. Listen to the word of God. Amen. That's what God is directing him to do. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Praise God. The word of the Lord will help you prosper. The word of God, as you follow him, will bring the prosperity that God wants you to have. Whithersoever thou goest. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the problem. It doesn't matter the difficulty. Praise God. The Lord is going to lead and provide and bless in your life. Praise God. Amen. Verse 8, if you hold to God's word and do it, you will be prosperous with good success. Praise God. Oh, it pleases God. It pleases God for you to trust him. It pleases God for you to believe him. It pleases God for you to desire him in your life. Because there are some things that he is going to make non-prosperous. There are things that are not going to prosper as you serve God. Again, Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. God said, I'm going to make you prosper. You follow my word. I'm going to make you prosper as you obey me. And then I'm going to make sure no weapon is going to prosper against you. Oh my, I think we ought to thank God right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil makes sure that he has a wide array of weapons. He makes sure that he comes against you with everything that he can. All the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts that he wants to fire at you, the devices that he puts in place. He'll even transform himself into an angel of light. But thank God, no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. Hallelujah. The hand of God will minister. The blessing of the Lord will come forth, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, thank God that we know the power that he desires to make known, the blessing that he desires to put forth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God didn't just snap his fingers and say, that's the way it's going to be. He could do that. He could make the statement. He could say, it is written, and rely upon his own word, and it would happen. No, he paid the price. He came, made sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God. And again, Isaiah prophesies of what's going to happen. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, we're not talking about a father abusing his son. We're talking about God manifest in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. God was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, John said, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. We know that's true from the word of the Lord. Jesus coming to pay the price for us. Amen. And the prophecy goes on. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He paid the price. He made the way. He slapped the devil around and took his keys. Praise God. He defeated him. And he defeated death. Hallelujah. He defeated hell. And he said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Oh, he's going to prosper it. He's going to make it grow. He's going to give the increase. Praise God, because he paid the price. I like to look in the book of Acts. I like to read of what the apostles did. I like to see the displays of power. And then I like to read of what even those who are opposed, those who persecuted, those who were against the truth of the Word of God and what they had to say. A man by the name of Gamaliel was a Pharisee, a doctor of the law, on the council, reputable among those who were despising the Jesus name doctrine. He advised them, saying, if the message is of man, it's going to come to nothing. If it's of God, nothing you can do about it. Don't even fight against God. Praise God, because you can't overthrow it. Oh, it's been going for over 2,000 years. Praise God. And it's going to keep going till the trumpet sounds, because that's truth. That's truth. John emphasized truth in his gospel, in his three letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. Truth is spoken of over and over. In fact, in 3 John, just those few verses in that short letter, he mentions truth 6 times. An emphasis on it. You shall know the truth, he wrote in John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. Continue in that truth. So he says, I wish above all things. This is a very strong desire in his heart. This is something he was really focusing on. He had seen miracles and revivals in great proportions. He'd seen amazing things, incredible things, as he walked with the Lord those 3.5 years. And then as he walked with Peter after the day of Pentecost and the power of God that he had seen, all the tremendous outpourings of the Holy Ghost, the lame man leaping and walking and praising God, who had never took a step in his life for over 40 years. And now, because Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. John was there to witness it. John was there when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost happened in Samaria. And they went to assist Philip and the revival that was going. All the amazing things that he saw. He's saying, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the help. Thank the Lord for the health that he gives to the church. Our body is mortal. Our body is corruptible in the sense that when we pass from this life, we're going to go back to the earth from which we were taken in the beginning, with Adam being formed out of the dust of the earth. But thank God the promise is, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Praise God. That's an action that you're going to do because of the power of God working in your life, confirming his word with signs following. I like what Philippians 3:21 says. He's going to change our vile body to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Oh, that's the fashion to follow. Praise God. That's one to get involved in. And what pleases God is for you to be in prosperity and health. And it pleases him so much that that's his plan for eternity. It's going to go on forever. Not just here and now, not just for stretches of years or months at a time, but forever, forever. Prosperity and health. Streets of gold. That beats stones of silver. Praise God. Walls of jasper, crystal sea, and gates of pearl. Wow. But that's going to be nothing to be in his presence, to give our praise around his throne forever. Oh, stand with me now. Praise God. Praise God. And I hope this becomes our wish. I hope this becomes our desire. I hope this becomes our priority. Lord, above all things, let me be prosperous and in health, like my soul. Praise God. Let my soul, Lord, rejoice in you. Let me be prosperous, even like a tree that you plant by rivers of water. Let your word be prosperous in my life, Lord. You paid the price. You made the way. Help me to walk in that way. Help me to rejoice in that price. Praise God. And continue on in my service to the Lord. Oh, what a great God. And then to claim that promise. No weapon, nothing is going to prosper against you. You're going to be an overcomer. You're going to be victorious. You're going to believe the report that he has made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll step into eternity singing his praises and glorifying his name. Praise God. Can we come to, with the purpose of doing that right now, glorifying his name?